section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
You are about to enter the dirty stalls of It Burns When I Pee. This podcast is for mature audiences only. The views and opinions expressed on this show are usually rude, crude, and offensive, and should not be associated with our guests and sponsors in any way. Please proceed to the first available stall and prepare for takeoff.
Welcome, everyone, to another gripping episode of It Burns When I Pee, the number one podcast for roots music, adult comedy, and interviews. The podcasting guy, Blake Clayton, along with his revolving group of co-hosts, are preparing for launch. Please adjust your volume, remove all morals and values, and prepare yourself for what we like to call auditory dysentery. We go live in
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ignition.
Mission control to podcasting god, you are clear to proceed. I repeat, you are clear to proceed.
Each keeping their word till the day of knowing. every little one but you, coming down from you. Well, I'm leaving town, I don't know where I'll land. I'll go another round for a ticket to that general world, always waiting in the next hand, to the tune of a bulldog blues. I'll be coming down from you, to the tune of a bulldog blues, coming down from you.
Welcome back to IBWIP. We're here at the High Note in Pekin, Illinois, with our good friend Joe Hubert. Joe, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Good to be here, Blake.
We just saw you a couple days ago at Moonrunners. You're coming down here, and it's a perfect opportunity because you have a brand new album out, The Hanging Road. Can you tell us a little bit about the album?
It officially came out online yesterday, so yeah, it's brand spanking new. Most of these songs are stuff I've come up with in the last year and a half here. I would say it's definitely in the vein of how Tongues of Fire kind of shifted from Burying Me Where I Fall, where it was pretty low-key, morose stuff, and then I brought it up a notch, more balanced, more balanced living that I was doing at the time of writing. So, I try to keep it, kind of each individual song pops out on its own, and each one kind of, whatever happens, it exists in a world of its own, and it doesn't have to match any other sound, whatever comes. And,
right.
I've said this before, now that I'm just under my own name of Joseph Huber, whatever comes is going to be me.
Right.
I'm not worried about trying to write a song that's fits into a genre or tone or attitude or anything. It's just like, I'm a human being with as many emotions and attitudes and ranges of thought that anyone else is. So, it's like whatever comes.
Awesome. I just dropped the question, so hold on.
Hey, go for it.
I didn't have a personal assistant or anything. So, the album is coming out on Moonrunners Recordings. What was your decision? How did your decision come about to join forces with Moonrunners Recording?
Well, certainly it was a good first experience going to the Muddy Roots festival. I didn't make the first one, but the second one. And
it was kind of wet.
It was certainly wet. And regardless of only getting to play six songs, I kind of I felt a certain community or sense that was created there, and it just felt really damn good. And after meeting Jason, I just kind of could tell that it was a passionate thing that he was doing out of the absolute love that he had for the bands that were there, the music in general, and even today, every time I go online and there's something like mentioned about me, someone posts something, Jason's on there going, "Yep, this is the greatest," and he's truly passionate, and he really does enjoy the music. And the fact that there's someone who knows what they're doing, pushing this kind of stuff, and wants to be a part of it, I just kind of thought, I usually do everything on my own, and I still everything on the album is recorded by me, but I felt like maybe I'll just bust outside of my comfort zone, my box here, and just take a chance on someone else helping me out, spreading the word. And I kind of felt like Muddy Roots was a no-brainer in terms of whether they truly cared about the songs I was putting out.
Sure. So. And it helps always to have an extra set of hands.
Yes.
To help you out, no matter how that works.
Oh, certainly. I mean, when an artist is taking all of the business aspects of his creative life and focusing on that, after a while, it will consume you to the point where you're just like, God, I haven't actually try to write a song for how long, because I've been so focused on promotion
and booking.
Yeah, it's like, there comes a point when you have to agree to let someone else help you out, and as hard as that can be for some people, you know.
Sure. Not too long ago, you did a tour over in Europe. How many times have you been to Europe? Playing
357. I'm trying to think how many times we were there. We were probably six, I think. That number changes every time I.
Tell the
story. I'm pretty sure it was six. I'm pretty sure like an accurate number would be six. And then this is my very first solo one, so I just went over there, and my wife came along. It's the first time she's, well, no, she's been to Europe once with 357, but since, you know, this was a kind of a honeymoon slash tour for us a little bit, so
sure.
it was fantastic. I have good times every time I go over there. The kind of just the general musical support system over there of, you know, treating bands well, the you know, have a place to stay, food to eat, and good sound. Everything about it, it kind of feels like there's a support system
sure.
there that is.
They take pride. They take pride in when you're coming over. It's
yes,
yeah, certainly. They want to make sure.
Yeah.
You're well taken care of.
Absolutely.
Speaking of, you know, you had mentioned your wife a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
You since the last time we talked on the show, you recently got married not too long ago.
Yep.
How has being married affected your music? Has it brought inspiration, or has it changed your style of writing?
Well, it's
your
turning me into a total softie. Is what I'm just kidding.
They're all gonna be love songs from now on.
Yeah. Well, it's like when I first put out Tongues of Fire, I was really just proud of how that album turned out, and I remember reading like the first review I ever read of it was a guy that was just like, well, it's like 357 light, it's a good music to listen to with your grandma.
Ooh.
And I was like, grandma listens to good music, man.
Right.
I'm gonna take that as a compliment right now. And but it's, you know, does it affect how I write? I don't know. I guess I don't know. I don't think that there's any like dichotomy that like this is my married life, this is my
sure,
music
no,
life.
Sure.
I feel like I've just tried to make a balance to everything, and I think the songs are just honest about, you know, either things I am going through or have gone through. I mean this album is The Hanging Road is kind of like, all the songs are inspired by certain moments throughout the 9 years I've been with my wife, and we've only been married for not under a year, but we've been together for 9 years. So the songs are inspired by moments all throughout that 9 years, whether they're not all like happening right now
right,
or something.
Right.
So yeah, there's a lot of, you know, there's like broken love songs, there's love songs, there's ones that are just like hopeless, depressing, and awful songs that are just like, well, that's not what's happening right now, but that's something I
at
felt
one point
during a period where we were not together, and it was, you know, so.
So which song on the album, the new album, The Hanging Road, is the most autobiographical, would you say? I mean, you said that, you know,
certainly
they
not the two-tongue swear about putting the bottle down. I do still drink. That song was actually written for a friend who was sober, and after writing it, I was just like, man, I have so many sober friends. And hopefully they all enjoy this one, but apparently I just can only write in first person, so...
Right.
Yeah. That one's not autobiographical. But, I would say, you know, like, Same River Twice was about the time when me and my wife had split up for a while, and the line is taken from, like, an old philosopher, Heraclitus, who just said, no man can step in the same river twice. As in, all things are in flux, and you know, you can't go back to where you have been.
Sure.
You know, and you know, when me and my wife were broken up, and I was, you know, trying to get back together, and it was just kind of like, you know, but we've, you know, can we step in that same river twice? But we've both changed right now, so we're
sure.
different people. So yes, let's give that a whirl. You know,
awesome.
So that was an autobiographical one for sure.
I mean, I'm sure that there's. Every song has some kind of.
Oh sure, yeah.
But
yeah.
But I was just curious, as you know, there are some that are more than
yeah.
others. So.
Yeah, like Father Why These Stones is kind of like a prodigal son story, I always say, and that's like, you know, about, you know, I've had a very good childhood and living, and my parents had supported me in a lot of things, and but that's kind of just like, I kind of like made my life difficult for myself in a lot of ways, sure. And kind of like trying to find your way back to, you know, the importance of family, the importance of music, trying to find a, something to, you know, where you feel like, God, my parents had this, where, you know, I had this perfect grow up, and it's like, I'm fucking poor, I'm depressed, I'm not, like, what, I'm gonna lose my job, my this job isn't working, and I can't afford any of my own rents, and it's like, what, where did I go wrong?
Right.
Like, where did I become this, like, impractical person who just, like, you know, plays, you know, music and paintings and all these things that are just like, this isn't practical life, sure. Like, but somehow, you know, so yeah, that's autobiographical, certainly.
So, besides being a musician, you said you do some, you paint, but you also, I call it an art, furniture design,
yeah.
Or how would you describe it?
It's more art furniture, I suppose, as, I call it just like rustic modern furniture, I suppose.
And how did you get into doing that?
That was, I feel like I've like wanted to do it for a while, and, my buddy and I, 2 years ago, tried to start this community shop had a bunch of people coming in, and we could share the space, and, you know, because we didn't have a lot of fun, so we thought we could all kind of like put our you know, our money together and make a shop space that people could use when we weren't there. Other people could come in and use it, and try to have this like co-op of sorts. And once we got the space, I just took over it, and I just kept on going and going and going, and I was never not there. And I was, you know, and certain people dropped out, and I just, you know, I started making things, and it kind of took off pretty quick, where people were just like, yeah, I love this, and build this for me, let's build this for me, and I kept on doing custom stuff to the point where I was able to really keep upgrading the shop constantly and creating a really good shop within a couple of years, which it takes a lot of work. And now I've reached the point where I have a lot of projects going, and usually one or two, you know, two at a time going. So when I come home from a tour like this, I'll have stuff to go back to. So,
how did you get into woodworking and that?
Maybe I just wanted to do something more hands-on, practical kind of thing, and I had that desire to do that. My dad did do cabinetry stuff, and he kind of didn't ever really push me towards that direction. Though he was always kind of like, if you're gonna fuck up your music, if you do this and you're, you know, if you chop a finger off and you're playing guitar, well,
right.
It's more important that you're playing banjo, guitar, and fiddle. I'm like, really? It is? Okay.
Okay, Dad.
Thanks, Dad.
Dad said it was fine that I was a musician.
Yeah, and that's a rare thing, and I think that's really awesome that they've always been like that for me, though, because a lot of parents maybe would be like, sure, it's good, but I don't know what he's doing.
Right.
Like, you know, my parents are just like, awesome.
Good.
You know, they spread the word more than I do, right? So.
So this is your third solo album,
yeah.
Since the breakup of 357.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel you found a groove in, as a solo artist, and really found kind of the niche you want to find?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think at the beginning of Tongues of Fire, I felt like I was getting on something and already making like a sound that I wanted to go for. And yeah, I feel like I have certainly reached a balanced perspective of my whole life, and versus like 357 was kind of like it seemed like a narrow vision to me, or something, of what the songs I was writing at the time, or something. I couldn't bust out of it for some reason. But I feel like people do enjoy the stuff I've been doing since then, and it feels good because I feel like it's like, you know, that's good because you really are seeing me.
Sure.
And when you're just doing what you want to do, regardless of what people expect or think, you know, and you're just kind of, you're doing it for yourself, because
sure.
I'm entertaining myself, and I'm also like relieving something that I want to say or, you know, do, and the fact that other people like it when you know that this is really you,
right?
That is such a great feeling. Yeah. So
and obviously all three albums have been well received, and so does the 357 tag, have you noticed a kind of maybe not so prevalent as it probably was when you first put out the first album?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Yeah, and but you know, I'm definitely proud of everything I've done all throughout the years. I would never try to like completely distance myself from it.
That's,
most of the fans that do know me from my solo stuff know me from 357, and but yeah, it's good to have people come up and talk about what you're doing now,
right?
And being like, that's awesome.
And then some asshole who has a podcast has to bring in 357 questions.
Yeah,
that asshole. I specifically said no.
Hey, it's still the fact that it's, you know, still fresh in people's minds, and there's still people finding that band, and it's still growing even on its own when we're not together. That's awesome.
That is definitely awesome. You know? So, as a songwriter, and the last time we had you on was when we were doing the songwriter kind of series that we're promoting songwriters. Mm-hmm. To you, what makes the perfect song?
What makes the perfect song? Well, I guess I don't really have a great answer to that, but I guess it should certainly evoke something in another human being when they hear it. You want to, the writing is all about, I guess, connection with another human being and having an accurate portrayal of probably some sort of human imperfection.
Sure.
And then creating a song that can evoke that same response in someone else where you connect with a person would probably be a perfect song if you created a connection with someone. So,
for you, when you're writing, how do you judge when a song is done? When it's, this is one... I mean, is there
a struggle? If it has three verses and you do the chorus twice, you're good.
Right.
No, I don't know. When is it done? I guess you can just...
I guess because as any artist, you're always, most hypercritical of your own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was curious, is like, when do you put that song down and say, that's where it needs to be? Or do you just have a gut feeling and you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess maybe it's an unconscious thing that you're just like, when you're writing, you just reach a point where you're just like, any more would be forced or something.
Sure.
So just like, you were in the writing mode and that came out, and then once it starts to slip away, like to try to keep on fixing or adding, and it just won't work. So I mean, it just comes on its own. It's unfortunate how unconscious it is sometimes, because you'd wish you could really focus and work on it, but sometimes you just have to wait for that response within you to spew something, and then it's over.
Sure. And I've talked to a lot of songwriters over the years, and some songs they have with them for 5 years before, it's done. I mean, do you ever hold on to those ideas and work on something over that period of time, or does it need to generate within a reasonable time?
I would say somewhat reasonable. Even like some of the songs on Hanging Road are songs that I wrote 2 years ago. I might have finished like right after Tongues of Fire, or some of them were in the process but weren't being written during the like recording phase of Tongues of Fire. And so but I've never like gone back and like rearranged them waited for them. They were just like kind of like done at the time, and it just takes a while to release them or something, or the right order of songs that you need for an album, where if something flows, so the album flows, So some songs I have right now, I might have just had to hold on to.
Sure.
Because it doesn't flow with this album.
Sure. Well, one of the last questions I have for you is, has there ever been a point in your career that you wanted to stop playing music? And if so, why?
I guess never permanently. Even when 357 split up, we had to that conversation. I even had to explain, like, well, this is done, but I'm gonna take these songs that are on this album that we've already made, and I'm gonna move on and do something else, because I'm never gonna be like done writing music.
Mm-hmm.
I needed a break from that, but I'm not gonna be done writing. Like, I definitely needed a break, but I don't think there's necessarily a break from a person who feels inspired to write music just naturally or something. Like, I don't know why I write music, but I just do. So, you know, it's probably because I'm talking right now, but I, you know, I'm not much of a talker. I'm more of a, you know, on an everyday basis, sometimes I just realize I haven't said a fucking word all day. So, you know, it's just,
well, it keeps you out of trouble if you don't say anything.
So this is how I connect with people.
Sure.
So if I stopped writing music, I'd feel like I would lose that complete connection to the outside world. You know, so I couldn't stop writing music, but to take a break is absolutely healthy.
Definitely.
Sometimes if you're running yourself into the ground playing music, you know.
Sure. So where do folks go to find the new album, The Hanging Road?
The Hanging Road is, it's on iTunes as of yesterday, April 29th, so that's the easiest way, I suppose, if you just want a digital version of it. But you can get physical copies and digital from moneyrootsrecords.com. That's, even if you went to my site, you'd probably just relay you right to that. And the vinyl for that record will be out in early July, so a couple more months, and then you'll have the option whether you want vinyl or not.
Awesome.
So.
Awesome. And where do folks go to find out about your furniture?
JosephHuberWoodworks.com is that one.
All right. And we'll put that in the show notes. And then finally, where do folks go to get your tour dates and, you know, get t-shirts or whatever you have?
That is www.josephhubermusic.com. And they're also up on Facebook. It's annoying to post them a million different places, but they're on Facebook, Reverb Nation. And, but, you know, probably JosephHuberMusic.com is going to have all of the
dates. Your central hub.
It's good to have a central hub website.
Right.
Yeah, certainly.
Well, Joseph, thank you again for being on the show.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
It's always a pleasure having you on. And good luck on the tour.
Thank you so much.
And good luck with the new album.
It's going well so far. Thank you, Blake.
All right.
Hey, folks. Blake here. Hey, we love interacting with our fans, and there's tons of ways to get a hold of us. The easiest way is sending us an email at blake@ibwip.com. If you're still big into Facebook, then go search us at IBWIP. You can send us messages on there, or you can even post on our page. We also have a dial-in number, 203-429-4711. Give us a call and leave us a voicemail. We love playing voicemails on the show as well. If you're one of those Twitter addicts, follow us at IBWIPCOM. Finally, we are also on Instagram and Vine. Follow us at IBWIP on both. Take a few minutes and send us your questions, comments, and general complaints. We can't wait to hear from you.
Same river. Now there's bells ringing, and my blood they're singing. Sure as spring will bring the things we thought had died, the things we ain't yet tried, like sending the same river twice. Cause it's getting wider while we wait around for it all to dry. And I say, baby, I don't know what was on my mind. What do you say that you and I stand in the same river for the second time? Cause it's right today, only you and I, making waves and binding ties, standing in the same river for the second time. Standing in the same river for the second time.
Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code Section8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.